Welcome to day 31 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and yesterday we started in one of the most dramatic books in the Bible, the book of Exodus. And today we pick up at Exodus chapter 4 and read through chapter 6. So beginning in the New American Standard Bible, we start at Exodus 4, verse 1. Then Moses said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." Then he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail." So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The Lord furthermore said to him, "Now put your hand into your bosom." So he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, "Put your hand into your bosom again." So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." But he said, "Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will." Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, "Is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. You shall take in your hand the staff, which you shall perform the signs." Then Moses departed and returned to Jethro his father-in-law and said to him, "Please let me go, that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead." So Moses took his wife and his sons and mounted them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn.'" Now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, "You are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me." So he let him alone. At that time, she said, "You are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision." Now the Lord said to Aaron, "Go to meet Moses in the wilderness." So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. He then performed the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and worshipped. Chapter 5. And afterward Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors." Again Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors." So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, "You are no longer to give the people straw to make brick, as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of bricks which they were making previously, you shall impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it, because they are lazy. Therefore they cry out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Let the labor be heavier on the men, and let them work at it so that they will pay no attention to false words." So the taskmasters of the people and their foremen went out and spoke to the people, saying, "Thus says Pharaoh, I am not going to give you any straw. You go and get straw for yourselves wherever you can find it, but none of your labor will be reduced." So the people scattered through all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters pressed them, saying, "Complete your work quota, your daily amount, just as when you had straw." Moreover, the foremen of the sons of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not completed your required amount, either yesterday or today, in making brick as previously?" Then the foremen of the sons of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, "Why do you deal with this way with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, yet they keep saying to us, 'Make bricks.' And behold, your servants are being beaten, but it is the fault of your own people." But he said, "You are lazy, very lazy. Therefore you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' So go now and work, for you will be given no straw, yet you must deliver the quota of bricks." The foremen of the sons of Israel saw that they were in trouble, because they were told, "You must not reduce your daily amount of bricks." When they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron as they were waiting for them. They said to them, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." Chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land." God further spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourn. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel, because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." So Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the sons of Israel go out of his land." But Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, "Behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech." Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, and gave them a charge to the sons of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These are the heads of their fathers' households: the sons of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These are the families of Reuben. The sons of Simeon: Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations: Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And the length of Levi's life was 137 years. The sons of Gershon: Libni and Shimei according to their families. The sons of Kohath: Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. And the length of Kohath's life was 133 years. The sons of Merari: Mahli and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to their generations. Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the length of Amram's life was 137 years. The sons of Izhar: Korah, Nepheg, and Zikri. The sons of Uziel: Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sithri. Aaron married Elisheba, the daughter of Aminadab, the sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. The sons of Korah: Asir, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korahites. Aaron's son Eleazar married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites according to their families. It was the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their hosts." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing out the sons of Israel from Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. Now it came about on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you." But Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me?" This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the subject of obedience to the will of God, because here in the reading that we just heard, we find Moses struggling with God's directions to him about going to Egypt and speaking to Pharaoh to let God's people go. We see him arguing, telling him he can't talk, he never was good at talking. We see him begging him to send somebody else. And we just see a resistance on Moses' part to do the will of God, to the point where the word of God tells us the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And that was immediately after Moses is telling him, please send the message by somebody else. And it says the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Why would God become angry with Moses? The reason is God is very clearly telling him, here is my will. I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to speak these words. I want you to do these signs. I want you to speak to my people and tell them I've remembered them. And Moses is trying to get out of the assignment, or we'll just say it plainly. Moses wanted to disobey God and not do this thing. To God, obedience is a very critical issue. But in our society today, the word obedience almost has a negative connotation, because we live in a generation when personal independence has such a high value placed upon it that obedience sounds subservient to someone else. And yet, that word or obedience itself is very precious to God. The word obedience means to carry out the will and desire of another person. Carry out the will and desire of another person. And in the case of which we're speaking, we're talking about obedience to God. Carrying out the will and desire of God for your life. You know, I tell you, God honors and blesses a person who has a heart to obey him. That God loves that person, honors that person, blesses that person. Even though God has given to every single human being a free will. That's the way God created us, with a free will, not as robots to do God's will, but with a free will to choose to follow God or to not follow God, to be in relationship with God or to forget about God, to obey God or to disobey God, to do God's will and see God's purpose come to pass in your life, or to not do the will of God and lose the opportunity to walk in your divine destiny. Moses came very close in today's reading to losing the calling of God for his life because of his disobedience. First, we see this arguing with God, which made God angry. Then God reiterated to him that he wanted him to go and that he'd allow Aaron, his brother, to help him. So finally, Moses decides to obey God and starts to move toward Egypt. He asks his father-in-law, please let me go. I'm going to go see my brethren, see if they're still alive. His father-in-law releases him to go. And so Moses took his wife and his sons, mounted them on a donkey, and the scripture says, and returned to the land of Egypt. And then it says in verse 24, now it came about at the lodging place on the way, so they're on the way back to Egypt, that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Were you shocked by that verse? Did you wonder what on earth? God just gave him direction for his life, told him what his purpose was, set him on the way, and now he wants to kill him? Is God like having a bad day or what? No, God wasn't having a bad day, but Moses was having a very bad day. He was really struggling with obedience to God. He was not willing to do the will of God. The reason I know this is because the next part, the next several verses give us the insight into what it is that Moses did that made God so angry he's ready to just kill him and start over. It says, "Now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah," that's his wife, "took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet." There's some anger for you. "And she said, 'You are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me.' So he let him alone." That's God. So he, capital H, so God let him alone. What was all of that about? God obviously had required Moses to circumcise his sons, and Moses had not done it. This is clear because when Zipporah saw that Moses was in trouble with God, she went ahead and did it and threw it at Moses' feet and said, "Okay, there you are, but you're a bridegroom of blood to me." And that was when God let him alone. Once that obedience of circumcising the sons was done. For whatever reason, and most likely because of pressure from his wife, Moses had not obeyed one of the basic tenets of the chosen people's covenant with God, which was made with Abraham and carried down through Isaac and Jacob and onward, that when a son, firstborn son, when the sons, all the sons were born, they were to be circumcised as a sign of the covenant between God and his chosen people Israel. Well, Moses had not done that, most likely because Zipporah did not want him to. And Zipporah was angry about having to have the son circumcised. We see it through the anger that's displayed in these verses from Zipporah toward Moses. So most likely he caved in obeying God because of pressure from his wife. You know, God will not give us a pass on obedience or obeying God in a certain area because we have a spouse that gives us a hard time about it. Individually, we are responsible before the Lord to obey God. Period. We must obey the Lord personally, each one of us. Moses didn't do it because his wife pressured him, and it caused him such a problem that God's ready to start over because he couldn't trust someone who wouldn't obey one of the most basic commandments that had been given to him through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, God was ready to look for someone else to do this major assignment. You know, if you want to walk in the fullness of God's destiny for you, if you want to fulfill the calling he has on your life, if you want to discover what the calling God has on your life is, it starts with obeying the small things that God asks of you. God never gives to someone a great commission when they haven't obeyed in the smallest areas of their life. Because how can you trust someone who didn't obey in the small things? Would you give them a very big assignment? If you're an employer and you have an employee and you've asked them to do A, B, C, and D, and now they want to do Z, the big thing, but they never obeyed you in the first simple things you asked them to do, that will not be the employee you will trust with the big assignment. So it was here with God and Moses. Moses was not fully obedient at this point, and it caused him almost the loss of the destiny that God had created him to walk in. That's a very chilling thought for every one of us. Do you want to walk in what God had really created you for? Do you want to know what God really created you to do in your life? You will never know it if you are not obedient to the basic things that God has shown you to do. Forgive people, extend love to everyone, extend grace to people, extend mercy to people. They're very simple things, but they are requirements of God for each one of our lives. And here we see that Moses had failed to obey the Lord in this one area, and it almost cost him his destiny. And it would have cost him his destiny if this circumcision hadn't been performed. So from that point forward, we find Moses obeying God throughout. He struggles a little here and there, but really after this point, we don't see the same level of struggle that Moses had when he was first given his assignment from God, where he resisted, where he tried not to do God's will. Remember that definition of obedience: to carry out the will and desire of another person. To carry out the will and desire of God. That is obedience for each one of us who has a relationship with the Lord. Think about it today. Are there little things that God has put on your heart that you are to do? Small things that you have not done, that you have left undone? And if you really want to walk in the fullness of your destiny, then I urge you today, go back and do those little things. Do them well. Do them with a full heart. Ask God to forgive you for not obeying. And ask Him to give you the grace to do the things you should be doing that you haven't done. And it will be part of your preparation time and preparing you to be able to walk in the destiny God has for you. Choose to be that obedient person, because that is something that God really wants from every single one of His children. And also, it's vital to understand that disobedience opens the door for the enemy, and it'll rob you of not only your divine destiny, which is the biggest issue, but it'll rob you in other areas of your life. So God really, really wants you to be blessed, to walk with Him, to fulfill your divine destiny. But obedience is a central issue for every single believer. Obedience begins in the small things. So I encourage you today, go back, ask the Lord, what things have I left undone that I need to do? Don't miss out on your divine destiny. Begin by obeying in the small things. God bless you and give you a great day.